The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has warned Muslims to stay vigilant in the face of plots to sow divisions among them. Ayatollah Khamenei cautioned that powers, including the U.S., are in fact targeting Islam itself. His remarks come at a time when the Middle East region is witnessing the rise of Takfiri terror groups like ISIL, who are committing atrocities in the name of Islam against Muslims. Some interpret it as yet another chapter of a Sunni-Shia schism. In this edition of the debate, we ask who is behind the distortion of Islam's image and who benefits from sowing the seeds of sectarianism among Muslims.
From the mausoleum of the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran and on the occasion of the 26th anniversary of the passing of Imam Khomeini, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei has made an important speech. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution touched on principles on which Imam Khomeini built his school of thought. The leader said Imam Khomeini was against sectarianism and always stressed on the importance of unity in the Islamic world. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, based on teachings of the late Imam, Iran is seeking to build an Islamic Ummah.
جمهوری اسلامی ایران از اول نسبت به این مسئله اختلاف مذهبی یک نگاه کاملا یکسانی داشت ما با برادران فلسطینیمون که سنیان همون جور عمل کردیم که با برادران حزب الله لبنان که شیعه هستن عمل کردیم همه جا یک جور عمل کردیم.
The leader added that global arrogant powers are seeking to sow the seeds of the division among Muslims.
اینی که نوکرهای دست دوم آمریکا میان مسئله هلال شیعی رو مطرح میکنن این نشان دهنده سیاست‌های تفرقه افکن است.
Ayatollah Khamenei denounced the United States and some of its regional allies for supporting terrorist groups.
آمریکایی‌ها علارغم تبلیغات فراوان نسبت به همین گروه‌های تفرقه افکن تکفیری در عراق و سوریه مماشات می‌کنند احیاناً در مواردی هم به آنها کمک می‌کنند به صورت بی‌خبر و مخفیانه عواملشون که به صورت صریح از اونها حمایت میکنن این نشان دهنده این است که نقش تفرقه افکنی از نظر دشمنان اسلام و مسلمین و دشمنان جمهوری اسلامی نقش بسیار برجسته ای اینا همه توجه کنن.
The leader warned both Shia and Sunni Muslims against plots hatched by bullying powers.
I hope that this kind of a statement and lecture of leadership can bring more awareness among those people who are fooled and brainwashed and used for violence and extremism and terrorism.
Praising political Islam for its success through decades, the leader said arrogant powers want to come back to an era of domineering within Iran simply because Islam is an obstacle on their path to hegemony. Ayatollah Khamenei stressed that Iran's policy is supporting the oppressed nations, be it in Yemen, Bahrain, occupied territories, or Afghanistan.
Well, let's start off with introducing our guest for tonight. Joining us from London is activist and Islamic scholar Shabir R. Hassan Ali. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, Mr. Hassan Ali. And also joining us from Washington is former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense Lawrence J. Korb. Now, Mr. Hassan Ali, I'll start off with you, if I may. Let's look at the comments of the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution. He says, sowing seeds of discord among Muslims is a cornerstone of the foreign policy of the U.S. and other arrogant powers. What do you make of that?
What Ayatollah Khamenei has said is not something new. He's just reiterating what, and like he said, he's reiterating what Imam Khomeini had said previously. And anyone who has examined US foreign policy and even British foreign policy and Western foreign policy as a whole can see that they need to create division, they need to create strife. Everyone knows the British Empire was built on the premise of divide and rule. Right now, if you look at the way America is fear-mongering, if you watch channels like Fox and CNN and other channels and the way they talk about things that even Ayatollah Khamenei mentioned, like the so-called Shia Crescent, and this is all designed to put fear into the Muslims who live in a place that is, quote, outside the Shia crescent, to make them frightened, to create this division that, oh my God, these so-called Shias are gonna come and they're gonna kill us. And on the converse, you have the Shias being made scared and being frightened by this idea of Daesh and ISIS, which is, again, like I've said before, and like many, many others far more learned than myself have said, this is a manufactured phenomenon. If America realistically wanted to break ISIS, it's got enough capabilities to do that. But the reality of the situation is, and even a blind man can see this, that America is the hand behind this because it needs the instability. It needs this instability because it needs the black gold and the control of that region. And also, primarily, this is governed by the strength of the Zionist lobby, which is trying to protect this little cancer in the Middle East, which is commonly known as Israel, but which we will always call occupied Palestine.
All right, let me bring in Mr. Korb here. Mr. Korb, I'd like to get your opinion on this, because even the recently released Defense Intelligence Agency reports mentions how it has been the policy of the U.S. government to create sectarian divisions for achieving its own goals in the region.
Well, I don't think it's true. If you go back and take a look, for example, after the attacks on the United States of 9/11, Iran and the United States worked together to get the Taliban and al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan. Iran is a Shia country. The Taliban were Sunnis. We worked with Iran, persuaded their allies, the Northern Alliance, to support Karzai to establish a government. The United States is trying to get a coalition against ISIS, which is a Sunni group. And the United States doesn't want to do it all by itself, even
though
it's taking
the lead. This is a mistake, and this is something that Americans and American pundits promote. ISIS is not Sunni. ISIS is a Takfiri organization. Takfiris do not have any religion. They are like Zionists. They are the insult, the biggest insult to any divine religion. So please, my honorable colleague, do not call ISIS a Sunni or any Muslim organization like that. ISIS is a Takfiri organization. If you want to label it something, label it what it truly is. It's a Zionist, a Takfiri outfit. And there
Go
is
ahead,
no
Mr.
one who
Korb.
Can dispute this with any validity.
Well, again, it's not a Shia organization. The United States
is going after
not
organization,
because of
friend.
Their religion.
Mr. Hassan, we'll get back to
terms.
The labeling in just a bit. Let Mr. Korb just finish
Sorry.
His thoughts there. Go ahead, Mr. Korb.
All right, so the United States is going after ISIS, most of whom members claim they're Sunnis, okay? And they're going after
this is again
not because
mistaken.
Of their religion, it's because of what they're doing.
So why is the United States supporting the Saudi entity
Are you
in its
let
war
me finish?
On Yemen? Why is? Now I'm asking a question. You're saying the American government and the United States is going after ISIS, who you profess is predominantly Sunni. I say it's predominantly Zionist, or entirely Zionist, entirely Takfiri. What I'm asking you, sir, is why is the United States ready to support this entity called Saudi Arabia against the innocent people of Yemen, against the innocent people of Bahrain, against its own innocent people who languish in jails, and yet America sits down with this hypocritic face saying that, ooh, I am the biggest proponent of human rights. I love freedom. I love this. This is, quite frankly, nothing more than a load of lies. This is
Go
just
ahead,
lies,
Mr. Korb,
just like what America says about
Mr.
Hassani, Daesh
let's give,
and all these
let's
other
give Mr. Korb a chance to respond. Go ahead.
Sorry.
All right. I didn't interrupt you, sir, so I would appreciate your letting me finish, and then you'll have your turn. All right. The United States was asked to go back in by the Iraqi government, okay, by the Iraqi government last August to rescue the Yazidis who were trapped on Mount Sinjar by ISIS. We went back in. Now they've asked us to help retrain the Iraqi army so that it can take back its own territory. Similarly, in Syria, we're going after ISIS, not the Assad government. We're going after ISIS to prevent them from doing the horrible things that they did. We helped the Kurds take back Kobani. the United States basically, in fact, the Saudis are upset at the United States. Their king did not even come to the conference that President Obama had to talk about the strategy to deal with these terrorists, whatever you want to call them. The United States is right now negotiating with the Houthis to see if we can bring an end to the conflict there. The Saudis wanted us to get more involved in Syria to go after Assad, and we didn't do that.
All right,
so
Mr.
the idea
Port,
that
let
the
me
United
just jump
States
in
is
there.
Trying
there,
to exploit
there,
some...
You brought up Kobani, for example.
Looking
at the U.S.'s engagement when it came to Kobani, there were clear reports and evidence of how the U.S. airdropped weapons that fell right into the hands of the ISIL. And this Defense Intelligence Agency report that I mentioned, which was released earlier last week, speaks of how the U.S. viewed al-Qaeda in Iraq, which is now ISIL, as a strategic partner for overthrowing the government of President Bashar al-Assad. So there has been this kind of engagement to bring about divisions, to bring about the type of turmoil that we're seeing right now in the Middle East.
Now, wait a second. Okay. The United States basically has been pressed to try and get rid of Assad. President Obama has been criticized for not doing it by members of the opposition party. And with we have not.
Why is it America's problem whether Assad stays or whether anyone stays? Why does America interfere in everything? Why does America poke its elongated nose into the affairs of everyone else while it has homeless people and oppressed people in its own neighborhood, but it does nothing about its own people? Why is America spending billions, nay trillions, right, on interfering in the affairs of the world? America is not the world's policeman. America is essentially a bankrupt entity, bankrolled by the most corrupt. This is a fact. Everyone knows that America is a bankrupt entity. It has no need to spend gazillions on defense, so-called defense. It should be called offense. The American defense budget is not a defense budget. It's an offense budget. It's how it works and plays with little dictators like Sisi, like Saudi, like Bahrain, like all of these corrupt terrorists like Netanyahu, who while on the surface, Obama might say, oh, we don't get on. Yeah, but deep down, you're still buddies and you know it, right? America can put the veneer on. It can put the face on that, oh, we care about human rights. Oh, we care the Houthis and the Yemeni people are being killed. But anyone knows that America, with one phone call, can turn around and tell Salman, who is nothing more than a stooge, Salman of Saudi, in case you don't know who I'm talking about, and tell him, you stop your fighting. Just like it did in 2006, when it was becoming clear that the Zionists could not defeat the power of the Islamic resistance and the resistance in South Lebanon. And America then had to turn around to Netanyahu, or whoever the Israeli leadership was at that time, and say, look, you need to back down. And there is evidence that Bolton even went to some of the Arab countries and asked them to mediate. This is documented and undisputable. So please, do not give me this garbage about America being, oh, we care about this, we did this and here, we did. America doesn't care about anyone except its own bank balance and the Zionist entity and its proponents in Washington, in New York, in Texas, in California, everywhere. America needs to worry about itself, spend money on itself, improve the homeless situation, provide education services, provide medical, and ignore the rest of the world until it sorted itself out. Believe me, the world can survive without America's nose and interference. In fact,
Mr.
the world
Forbes,
will flourish without
question
America.
To you, is this America's war to fight?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Well, again, it's interesting. President Obama would be thrilled to hear what you're saying, because his Republican critics are saying he's not doing what the United States has been asked to do. The United States was asked to go back into Iraq by the Shia government led by Mr. Maliki and now led by
It's not
Mr.
a Shia
Abadi.
Government, it's an Iraqi
Obama
government.
Has been
this
criticized
sectarian,
for not putting boots
I
on.
I need to step in over here, because what this gentleman is doing exactly what any American pundit and any Zionist-backed pundit, overt or covert, constantly do on TV. If you sit down, you go through all the channels, you will never see them address this issue as Iraqi or Syrian or, I don't know, Yemeni or Saudi or whatever. They will say the Sunni Saudis and the Shia Iraqis. And then this, why do you need to mention the word Shia and Sunni? You are not Muslim, it's not relevant to you. The reason you do it is to create division and to sow the seeds of sedition, to sow the seeds of fear, so that a Sunni person who is naive and gullible, or a Shia person who is naive and gullible, watching you, immediately begins to think that the other is going to cause problems.
Okay,
this is how America operates.
Thoughts. Let me just cross over to our social media networking pages and see what our viewers have to say about this.
The leader of Iran is absolutely correct. It is reflective of what the United States in the past has done in Central and South America and in Africa. America is a nation which is not at peace with peace. They're using Muslims to do their dirty job, and unfortunately our youth are being taken for a ride and brainwashed to hate other Muslims instead of focusing on our enemies and those who wish us harm. Iran's leader is absolutely right. It's the oldest trick in the book, divide and conquer, and it still works fine. Divide and rule. The Brits built their empire on this.
Well, those are some of the comments there posted by our viewers as this conversation continues on our social media pages. Now, Mr. Korb, getting back to this issue of terminology, when you use terms like the Iraqi Shia government or, Mr. Hassanali pointed out, ISIL Sunnis, for example, isn't that oversimplifying a situation that is way more complex than it meets the eye? And doesn't this simplification hold consequences?
Well, the topic of the show that you asked me to go on today was your topic, not mine, was said, and I'll show you the email that said the United States is exploiting the Sunni-Shia divide. Obviously, my colleague in London didn't get the subject. That's what we're supposed to be talking about.
No, I got it.
It was your idea.
I got the same subject.
And if you interrupt me once more, I'm getting up and leaving, okay? Okay. Ah, well, there you go. Okay, go back and look at your email. And if you interrupt me again, I'm not going to respond. I let you speak.
Mr. Hassanali, I would kindly request you to stop interrupting Mr. Korb and let him finish his sentence. Go ahead, Mr. Korb.
All right, I'm answering your question. You asked me basically what the United States is trying to do. The United States is trying to bring help with, there are 21 other nations that just met in Paris that basically are trying to bring stability to that area so the people can choose their own destiny. That's what we want to do. We didn't start the Arab Spring that led to Assad cracking down on his people who had peaceful protests. This was not our idea. We did not start ISIS, whatever you want to call them. We wanted to go home. We didn't want. President Obama is being criticized for not staying in Iraq and for not putting ground troops on there. So this idea that somehow the United States is trying to, no, we want to focus on the problems that our colleague in London has been talking about. Since Obama's been in office, he's cut defense spending by $1 trillion, and he's being criticized for cutting it too much. So I'm not quite sure, what the issue is. If the issue is, are we trying to exploit the Sunni-Shia divide? I'll be happy to talk about it. When I mentioned the government in Iraq, which is led by, has been a Shia-dominated government, I'm trying to illustrate the point that we're not picking one side over the other, and somehow that we're aiding the Sunnis against the Shias. No, we don't. That's not our issue. Our issue is to have stability in there so that the people can choose their own destiny.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Hassanali.
I actually agree with the gentleman that they're not interested in supporting one side over the other. What they want is they want both sides to kill each other while they step aside. Let the Muslims kill each other, Shia, Sunni, whoever, And ultimately, they reap the spoils of this. This is exactly what America has done. There is someone, a wise man once said, that there are some people who say, who when people go to them, a mass of people go to them, it's like a parable. They say that, please don't make mischief in the earth. Please don't create sedition and fitna and problems on the earth. And those people who are creating this sedition, who are creating all of this, they say, who, us? We're not creating any sedition. We're only peacemakers. We only want peace amongst each other. And this is exactly what Obama or Clinton or this or whoever sits in that White House, which is itself a bizarre name, is doing. If America cared genuinely about human rights, why is America not cracking down on the Rohingya Muslims that are being massacred by the Buddhist monks? Why is America so silent on what's happening in Yemen? Even though my respected colleague says that, oh, we're trying to make peace with the Houthis. My dear, you don't have to sit down and make big, big conferences to make peace. Everyone knows the influence that the United States of America has got on the Saudi entity. One phone call from Mr. Obama will do the job. So if you're real, like I've said to many other speakers who I've gone against like this, who I've debated with, you know, talk is cheap. We can sit here in studios in Washington and London and say everything. But the people you're speaking for need to actually walk the walk, not just talk the talk. You can turn around and be a pundit for whoever, but if there's no real substance behind it, there's nothing. The reason why I sit down and support the words of the leader is because it is well known that while you turn around and you say that, oh, America wants to help defeat ISIS, Iran, 3 hours, according to some accounts, from the point that Mosul was falling, Iran had immediately said to the Iraqi government, the Arab Muslim Iraqi government, that's another way you could describe it. It doesn't have to be called Shia, yeah? You can choose the correct words if you want to. You don't have to use words that are divisive.
Right. Iran, now, Mr. Korb, let me give you the last the government answer said, we're ready over to help here. You. Very quickly, if you can, just summing up what Mr. Hassan Ali had to say, how important is it when you're condemning or trying to fight a group like ISIL that you stop and stem the financial support as well as the ideological support that they're getting from countries like Saudi Arabia?
Well, again, we've tried to stop them. You talk about picking up the phone. Saudi Arabia is an independently wealthy country. They can pretty much do what they want. And as I mentioned, they didn't even show up when Obama asked them to come to the summit to discuss. The king didn't come. He didn't come. Okay? He did not.
Let's be honest, right? Everyone knows the influence that America has on Saudi Arabia. This is to turn around and say, oh, they're independent. They're independent. Really? They're about as independent as the Zionists.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you, gentlemen, here. Unfortunately, time's gotten the better of us. Hopefully, we can continue this discussion at a later date here on Press TV. I'd like to thank activist and Islamic scholar Shabir R. Hassan Ali, who joined us from London, and joining us from studios in Washington as former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense Lawrence J. Korb, and of course, to our viewers for joining us in this edition of The Debate. For me and the entire team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.